Good morning. It's 8:37 Finger Lakes Morning News, and joining us on the program, one of our regular guests from the far north country this morning with Cancer Action New York, Don Hassig's with us. Don, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hey, Ted. Great day.
Now, I know you've been battling cancer on a lot of fronts here and battling the idea that cancer is just sort of a mystery thing that doesn't have anything to do with what we put into the air and into the earth and into the water. And one of the battle fronts has been over something known as persistent organic pollutants. Before we talk about that, let's just, for people that haven't followed our conversations in the past, define our term. What is a POP?
Persistent means they last a long time in the environment, and they last a long time in people's bodies. So in the case of DDT, which was banned in the U.S. long ago, we still all have it in our bodies because it's persistent. Organic, I don't like that word. It should be, they should say hydrocarbon, but how do you say PHP? It doesn't work as an acronym. So they chose this chemist's word. Organic means carbon chemistry. So they are truly persistent hydrocarbon pollutants, and everybody knows what pollution is.
So you mentioned, go ahead.
They're dioxins, PCBs, DDT, diethylstilbestrol, Myrex toxaphene, hexachlorobenzene, hexachlorocyclohexane. You can't, I could repeat, you know, give you these names, you know, new names, the rest of the program, and we wouldn't be done.
Are we able to measure these things? Can you measure an increased amount of these compounds in food, in water, in the air?
This is what's being done. The good scientist, Dr. Arnold Schechter, he is with the University of Texas at Dallas School of Public Health. He has published a series of papers on what they call emerging POPs. You know, the POPs that haven't been studied as much, but they're similar to the POPs that have been better studied, like dioxins and PCBs. The PBDEs, they are one group of flame retardants, brominated flame retardants. They are at higher levels in the breast milk and therefore in the food that babies in the U.S. are consuming at higher levels. American babies are getting a bigger dose of PBDEs than anybody else on Earth. And it's, and it's also in the food supply. See, the breast milk is animal fat, and the cow's milk is animal fat, and the beef has animal fat in it, and the chicken and the pork and the poultry, you know, all these have animal fat. And just as these American babies are getting exposed to PBDEs from nursing, once they stop that, they're getting exposed to PBDEs from eating the food supply, the contaminated food supply.
One of the things that Cancer Action New York has been trying to do is just get people aware that these compounds are there and get governments to admit that they're there and start to do something about it. And what I find interesting is that most of your success so far has been at the local level. It's very difficult to get the state or federal governments to do anything in this issue, but you're beginning to have success with local governments, especially where you're based in the North Country.
That's right. It's all about good people. I grew up in the township of Lisbon. It's in the St. Lawrence River Valley. It's a awesome place. We have a great big 100-some acre cedar woods on our farm. There's this mix of the forests and the woods and the, you know, dairy farming. We were in 4-H. My dad was a veterinarian. He's passed away now, but he was a federal veterinarian. It was good. He worked for the U.S. government his whole career, inspecting cattle and horses that came across from Canada. So the farmers up here knew him. We had cattle, and we were involved with the dairy farming business. We showed registered Holsteins. So in having that background, and then in having worked since 1997 to bring an end to one of the big sources of POPs up here, well, everywhere in the world, this open trash burning, where you're burning plastic and creating dioxins. Well, that was a big issue for dairy farming area, because the whole problem was the dioxins didn't stay up in the air. They came down and contaminated the forage crops, and then the cattle had dioxins in their bodies, and then we were consuming the dioxins from the milk and the meat. So we fought that issue since 1997, and we established a good rapport with the good farmers and the good town board members and even a few good county legislators. And that's what it's all about. It is about developing contacts with politicians and local leaders, people that when they do something, people that say, well, why did they do that? They are a leader. They must be you know, they're a thinker, they care, they're good guys and good ladies. So this is where we're going. You know, we've built this, we built it strong. There's not a crack in this foundation. We've got all the science there, all the good people there, and we're just going to keep building and building and building until this is something that doesn't need to be worked on anymore, and we'll jump on something else.
Now, what I find interesting is that mostly what you're calling for are studies. You're not saying right out of the chute, let's ban every chemical known to man and all that kind of thing. You're saying, let's study these POPs, see where they are, see where they're coming from. And as we said, you're getting town boards and village boards starting to say, okay. But then you get to the state level, well, even to the county level in many cases, and you hit a stone wall.
Well, you know, you are mistaken about that, Ted. We are not asking for studies. What we're all about is using the existing scientific knowledge to just tell the people what is known and then let them make up their mind if they want to continue to build body burdens of these chemicals that are known or suspected human carcinogens. They're also associated with cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. Certainly, there's room for continuing research, because this is what science is. It is an endless quest for more specific and more useful knowledge. But we say, what needs to be done right now? What could prevent the most cancer and diabetes and heart disease right now? Is to just tell people, look, here's the way it is. All around the world, all of us, the consumers, the producers, the manufacturers, the chemists, all of us, we used chemicals in a careless and less than well-informed, you know, totally uninformed and creating considerable harm kind of way. Our bodies have these chemicals in them. We're seeing the diseases that are caused by having these chemicals in our bodies. The public doesn't know this. It is a right to know. They want to know why they got cancer. They want to know why their 15-year-old daughters are getting cancer. Breast cancer never happened before until the 2000s, and here it goes in the 2010s. We're going to see more of it because the same thing is happening, and people aren't informed and they're not avoiding the exposures. We want the public to know what you and I are talking about right now.
So let me, I phrased poorly before. Let me be more exact here. What you're saying is that the studies are out there. The information is out there. It just isn't getting to the consumer, and that's what you're looking for, is to have consumers have this information so that they can be informed.
Exactly. Because, see, then that empowers them to make a choice of whether they are going to have those chemicals in their body or not. Up until now, they didn't give their permission. They didn't even know about it. The science has existed now. This science has been existing. It has been in existence since at least the late 1990s. So we're talking about well over 10 years now. The government has been holding this down, and it's all about top-down government. Here in St. Lawrence County, what we encounter is that our public health department, Dr. Susan Hathaway, she's a PhD in organic chemistry. It's kind of interesting. She has come out in the most recent county legislature meeting we were speaking at. She was invited to speak by one of the legislators that's a dairy farmer. And this Dr. Hathaway said, I've talked to a lot of people about POPs, and there's no epidemiology upon which to base a public health message. That is the exact opposite of the truth in this matter. We sent her a Freedom of Information Law request asking to have all documentation of contact she'd had with the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the New York State Department of Health, the state top health agency, U.S. top health agency. We asked her what contact she'd had with them on the subject of POPs. She wrote us back a one-sentence FOIL response. I have had no contact on POPs with these entities. So who was she talking to? And she knows nothing about POPs epidemiology. The world is overflowing with POPs epidemiological studies. This is all about what the cigarette smoking companies were doing back in the past decades. Kept saying cigarettes don't cause cancer.
We've talked about
cause cancer.
In some of our previous visits, we've talked about the corporate connection here, and obviously there are companies that make these compounds that spend a whole lot of money, and they want to keep making them. What motivates a public health director of a county to ignore the evidence that's out there? I mean, it's not like they're taking a bunch of money from chemical companies.
Good question. Great question. Here's the way it is. I'll give you a story, a perfect example. Over the course of the past, say, 10, 15 years, I've spoken to every public health director that has come along and been the leader in the public health in St. Lawrence County. This Dr. Kent, well, no, not doctor, take that back. She wasn't a PhD or an MD. This Mrs. Kent, she was the acting director of public health in St. Lawrence County back before this Dr. Hathaway came along. I said to Mrs. Kent, would you begin to educate the public here about POPs and dioxins in the food supply if the legislators told you to do it? She said, yes, I would. Didn't argue about it at all. There's plenty of people that will agree that the science is ready to be used here to prevent these diseases. But, and then I said, well, why won't the legislators tell you? And she said, it is because we don't want to deal with the pushback from the dairy industry. And they wouldn't do it right out in the open. But when people are talking, when people are making their political decisions, when the clicks and the power is being determined and continued, and it plays its role, this is what is happening. People are hesitant from in every level, even in your own life. And in my own life, I feel hesitant to, say, be critical of some product that somebody's selling because they need to make a living. You know, they're the dairy farmers. I feel concerned that there will be a bump in the road for the dairy industry and the beef industry because of this problem. But it's crazy. You can't ignore the fact that people have been poisoned just by the way it turned out. It wasn't deliberate. It's just the way it turned out with the chemicals and the environment and the commerce and the public health. The way it all turned out is that people have these chemicals that cause disease in their bodies, and they need to know about it. And it's being held down tremendously by the influence of the corporations at the top and the way that trickles down through the politics and the connections. This Dr. Hathaway, she owes her existence to funding from the New York State Department of Health. Do you think she's going to cross them? And New York State DOH, she gets all her funding from them.
Let me ask this question. Don Hassig's with us from Cancer Action New York. Have there been identified other compounds that could replace these POPs in making products that are safer?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about that. That's something that I'm not familiar with. What we say is, let's go back to the days when there weren't a whole lot of chemicals being used. We were all fine. You know, people had food and shelter, and they had happiness, and they had kids, and they had good lives, and they loved the land, and they were involved with a lot of important things like community and government. We had those things back in the 1920s, and in all that previous time of human existence, before this chemical explosion that took place after World War II and during World War II, these 70 years that have come along since my dad was born have been a time when people were, it wasn't even an experiment. Experiments are deliberate. It was just something that happened because people got into using chemicals to make money. This is all a simple matter of chemical use getting out of control because an easy way of making money, and a lot of power existing out there to want to make the money, nobody's there to conflict with that. There weren't any environmentalists back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and then it started a little few in the 60s. With Rachel Carson. But we're still battling. That's where it's at.
All right, Don Hassig from Cancer Action New York. We're out of time for this visit. There's a forum coming up on April 26th in Canton in St. Lawrence County. Maybe we can talk after that and get the latest. CancerActionNY.org is the website. We appreciate you updating us, and we'll talk again soon.
It's always great talking to you, Ted.
All right, we appreciate it. Don Hassig from Cancer Action New York joining us this morning. He is